carve-outs. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So what is a carve-out? Sounds like a Thanksgiving thing.
Well, some people find them pretty appetizing. They can be pretty good deals for both buyers and sellers. But carve-out is the sale of a business or a division of a company that only represents a portion of a larger enterprise. Depending on how the business is organized, you could do this as an asset purchase, maybe a stock purchase. Sometimes in larger transactions or with complex structures, you may have a combination of the two, depending on how the business is organized within the larger organization.
And what circumstances are best for carve-outs to be used?
These are typically involved situations where involving a seller that is looking to divest a business that either isn't a strategic fit anymore or simply a situation that, you know, it needs cash and it's willing to divest a component of its business in order to get it. So again, it's for all the other reasons that companies might do a divestment transaction. It would be a carve out, just a question of whether you have a single business that's selling everything it's got, or whether they're a larger company and they're looking at various product lines or businesses as candidates for sale.
And what are the key negotiating issues in a carve-out?
Well, the biggest thing you have to understand about a carve-out is that most companies with multiple businesses have really scrambled the eggs internally. They may have very nice organizational charts, but when you scratch the surface below them, you have assets that are spread all over the place that are used in one business but owned by another business, and employees that are under the umbrella of one business but are working for another business or are doing things for two businesses, et cetera. So, in addition to all the reps and warranties and indemnities, et cetera, that you'd have in any acquisition agreement, you have to deal with a lot of issues that you deal with in a spinoff or a split-off, like which assets go with the acquired business. The sufficiency of assets rep you see in these deals is something that gets massaged pretty hard. Along the same lines, what liabilities are going to go with the business? There's a lot of negotiations between the parties. Is there going to be a non-compete since the company is divesting of this business but obviously has some expertise in it? And if so, what's the scope of that non-compete business? Employees are a huge issue. Which one should go? Which one should stay? What are you going to do about benefit plans? Are there going to be layoffs contemplated? Do you have to do WARN notices? How are you going to address specific employees whose services are going to be critical to the acquired business? Do you condition the deal on them? Do you negotiate employment agreements with them? One of the really tough things about these deals is you're going to often see situations where folks are wearing two hats. You're the person who may be critical to negotiating the deal for the seller, the next day may be working for the buyer. So that can create some conflicts and some interesting and sensitive issues, because that person knows in signing up the deal that he or she's going to have to live with the deal that they struck going forward. These businesses are often not really standalone. So there are some transition services that the seller may need to provide for the buyer. And conversely, you may be taking assets and people out of the business, and there may be some services that the buyer is going to need to provide for the seller for a period of time. So there is a lot of stuff to talk about in these transactions.
And what are some of the key differences between a carve-out and other types of acquisitions?
I think the biggest issues that are different are the separation issues, sorting out who and what goes where, how shared assets are going to be addressed, what transitional services you're going to need to be provided. In terms of deal terms, these deals are much less likely to have escrow arrangements than a typical private sale, which makes sense when you think about it, because you've got an ongoing business on the hook for the indemnity obligations that come into play under the contract. The other things to think about in these deals are things like financial statements. A lot of times these businesses don't have financial statements. So question for buyers are, is what I'm getting representative of how this is going to operate on a standalone basis? Have financial statements been prepared? Sometimes sellers will, in order to entice buyers, prepare some sort of financial statements for the carved out business. If not, whose nickels are they going to be on? If it's a big enough deal, there may be SEC financial statements required for the buyer, and that can be complicated when you're dealing with carve outs. There's an ability sometimes to get some relief on the extent of things that are required. in a carved out business situation from the accounting staff. But so there, you know, those are the things that I think are a number of the key differences between this and sort of your typical acquisition of the whole shebang.
And what are the issues with a carve out that might be litigated?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same type of things, reps and warranties, et cetera, that breaches of those things, anything that might give rise to indemnification. But the other thing that also complicates this and adds the potential for disputes is these transition services arrangements and the extended business relationship that you may have back and forth between the buyer and the seller. You know, more shared assets, shared liabilities, shared employees, et cetera, that you have, well, that's obviously just increases the universe of potential things that that you can fight about after the deal closes. So I think that's another layer of potential issues that might come up in litigation.
Great stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.